Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you on this wonderful day as you spend some time thinking about and considering what does it mean to ordain a pastor. It's not something that we do an awful lot of, actually, within the MB Church. I will say that we have 15 Chinese churches and within our family, and they hold ordination much higher than many of our English-speaking churches. I will let you know that I am actually ordained. Very few were. I was ordained in Saskatchewan. And so as I come and do these, I always remember what my ordination was like. And so to have family here, Sherman, is really important, and that was the case for me as well. You may wonder, well, what is with the whole ordination? What does that mean? And so we have a number of what I would say is layers within the MB Church when we call leaders to serve. And so when we call pastoral leaders to serve, one of the pieces that we do is we want to make sure that they've been credentialed with us. So again, that might be a big word. And what it means is that we sit down and we ask them to share their personal life, to share their faith life, to spend some time looking at our confession of faith, and to answer a bunch of questions around our confession of faith. And mostly that takes about, I'm going to say, about 50 pages of work that they need to do ahead of time. Now, you need to know that Sherman had been credentialed with the BC Conference before, and so as we did his ordination, we looked back to see what he had done, and then we invited him to update that with us. And so there's credentialing, so that's one layer. And out of credentialing, a pastor then gets licensed with us. And that just simply means that they are able to perform weddings. So they get a licensing that comes from the provincial government under our umbrella, and they get a card with their picture on it and a BCMB logo and my signature, or whoever was the conference minister or the executive director at the time. So that's like that's the second layer that takes place. Then the third layer would be ordination, and that's why we're here today. And ordination is really a calling from the local church. The conference follows the local church, because all of our local churches are quite autonomous. We are a body that work together, that we support and walk together, but every church is autonomous in that they can call and say, we would like our pastor to be ordained, and that's exactly what happened with your leadership. They came to us and said, this is our request to the conference that our pastor be ordained. And so then we followed up with a second theological alignment interview related to our confession of faith. So that's the short version around ordination this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Now, unfortunately, I realize that your pew Bibles are NIV, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV, so it'll be somewhat different, but we'll get to that in a moment. This is an important time for Sherman and for this church. So the church from the board has seen the gifts and calling that are on Sherman's life. This is also something for all of us to consider in our calling to follow God. And so when you think about this particular sermon, don't think that as I speak that I'm speaking to one person. I'm actually speaking to all of you. God has called all of us to be in service to Him, not in the same way that Sherman is, but we're called to serve. As we think about this text in 2 Timothy, you need to know that Paul is writing from prison. He's nearing the end of his life, and so he's giving his absolute best sage advice that he can give to a younger leader. And Timothy is that young pastor. And like most pastors, he's facing pressure and fear and opposition. And if you didn't think that pastoral ministry included opposition, you would be incorrect. I have been doing this for 40-plus years, and let me tell you, there is always opposition, and it's not always from the outside. Sometimes it's from the inside. And so what we need to do is we learn to manage and work within opposition, and it's okay. I want you to know this morning that conflict is actually not sin. So sometimes we think as Anabaptists, oh, there shouldn't be any conflict. We should all get along. And it's like, no, actually, conflict is pretty normal. What we do with it can be sin or not, but conflict is perfectly normal. When I think about ordination, there's a special sense of God's calling And as I think of my own ordination, there was a real affirmation of the local church that gave me encouragement and courage to face obstacles and challenges that I would face in the future. To know that I could look back on that particular day and that particular time and say, Lord, was that something? And I still have people in my life that I can call on and say, I'm a little bit discouraged today. And they would say, let us encourage you and give us some words of encouragement. So Paul's words are not just encouragement, they are actually a solemn charge. And so they're perfect today as we ordain a servant of God for ministry. So let me read the text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 6 and reading to verse 14. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. So let me give you, let's just quickly go through what we're seeing in this particular text. The first thing I want to remind us of and Sherman of this morning is to rekindle the gift of God, to fan into flame the gift of God. So it talks about a small flame. One of the things that I love to do with my grandsons and my daughter, who has taught outdoor education, we love to do is we love to teach our grandchildren how to light a fire without a match, without a torch. Well, my son in Alaska loves to light fires, and he just gets a big torch out, and boom, he's got a fire going in 10 seconds. It's like, no, we don't want to learn that. So we teach them how to light a fire with a flint. So you have the right product there, and then you start striking the flint, and it looks like all you're getting is a bunch of sparks. Is anything actually going to happen? But every one of our grandchildren from 14 till 9 can light a fire with a flint. And that's kind of like this picture, lighting a fire with something really small. So as we begin, when we think about ministry, sometimes it can start very small. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, he's encouraging us today, whatever God has lit a fire inside of you, whether it be very small, it is up to us to tend that flame. It needs to be looked after, it needs oxygen, it needs heat to be contained within it, and it needs fuel to use the gift that you've been given, to develop that gift, to grow the gift, to keep learning and developing it. And part of that rekindling that gift is to see it as a calling, not a career. So even our calling to be followers of Jesus as Christians today, we can see it as a calling. It's a gift to us. And so the work of ministry that takes place, that Sherman is involved in, is not just simply a career path that he chose, but we're saying this morning, no, it's actually a calling, it's a gift. And Paul reminds Timothy that ministry is based on a divine gift, a gift that actually comes from God. So ordination is not the beginning of that calling, it is the affirmation of the calling. There have been a couple of times over my life when I've not been in a pastoral role. Even as a 19-year-old working in a plywood plant in Quesnel, I saw my role as loving and caring and sharing the gospel with the people that I worked with. So I wasn't a pastor, hadn't gone to college, but I still saw my role as that. And so I would suggest that that's our role, that we can be pastoring, caring, loving people without having a particular title, but we can do it because we have a call from God in our lives. All of us as Christians are called to serve, and all of us have been given gifts. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's provided to us, and I would hope that as you think about your gift, you say, how can I use my gift to bless the body? The text that was read for us in Ephesians refers to that, where it's all of us have been given gifts, and actually Sherman's role is to make sure that your gift is being used and it's being built up so that it can encourage the body of Christ, and it can also involve people coming into faith and learning about Jesus. Paul encourages Timothy to keep the fire burning, fan into flame. And I think about that those words, fan into flame, implies a personal responsibility to stir up the gift, to keep working at it. Ministry can grow cold if neglected, or if we allow hardship or opposition to take out that heat from the flame. And so ministry needs constant and consistent devotion. It needs times of prayer and study. Ministry needs daily times with Jesus. That's not just for pastors, but it's for all of us. We need those daily times of reading the Word. We need weekly times of Sabbath rest, times away for a day to pray and to read the Word, to set aside that time. That's what keeps the fire burning. And also in this beginning text, he talks about you're empowered and not afraid. He says God has given us a spirit of power, love, and it might be self-control or self-discipline. And so there doesn't need to be fear. And this power doesn't come from within us. It is actually God giving it to us as we seek him, as we find our rest in him. So our confidence and calling comes not from our personality, even though I noticed that Sherman is very personable and he loves people. And I saw lots of hugs as people were coming in today. And that's wonderful to have a pastor who truly cares for you and loves you. But it's not just about that. It's really about divine empowerment. That's where the confidence comes from. The Holy Spirit is living in us. He is the one who empowers us. Remember the early disciples who were in a room praying before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and they were praying that he would give them courage and boldness. And at Pentecost, that prayer was answered. In verses 8 to 10, Paul really highlights this idea of do not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says a number of things. So he's in prison. He's not sure what's going to happen, if his life is going to be short or long. And he's waiting, but he's writing this. And he says the gospel is actually worth suffering for. It is the only thing that gives actual meaning to life. And so he connects his ministry with suffering. Not something to avoid, but to embrace. Ministry includes hardship, criticism, often rejection. Not to shrink back. I think often of even the example of Jesus, when Jesus called the people and he said, you know, this is going to be hard. You're going to need to do these things. I was reading in Luke's gospel. That's part of my daily Bible reading. And I happen to be in Luke's gospel. And as he's sharing this, it says there were hundreds of people with him. And he said, well, you need to love God first and put other people second. And in that, he said, are you willing to do that, or is this too hard? And so the gospel is worth suffering for. Ministry is something that we don't shrink back from. In this being not ashamed, we need to understand that the message that God gives us, I would suggest to us this morning, is a glorious message. It is a glorious message. Paul elevates the gospel here. God saves us. Yes, God calls us. Yes, God abolished death. Yes, God reveals and gives us life. This is the power of life is found in the gospel. The gospel is not just I accept it once. It is actually I accept it and then I live it out every single day. It is living out of the love of God for me and for you and to share that with others. And today we embrace this gospel for both today and every day, because we're proclaiming something that's eternal. something that's been proclaimed since Christ came to earth and even before, and it will be proclaimed until Christ returns. This message is glorious. And ministers, particularly, are heralds of this glory. What we share is God's word, not ours. There's times where we may say a word and say, this is not of the Lord, this is my thoughts coming from Scripture. But when we actually read God's word and say, this is the word of the Lord, and people say, I disagree with it, I've actually had people come and say that to me, I disagree with what you've said. And I've said, well, let's look at Scripture together. Well, I disagree with that. And I've said, then your complaint is actually not against me. It's actually against God. So you need to take it up with Him. And so our message is glorious, and it's God's word, not ours. And then last part of this is be courageous in witness. We live in an age where we want to compromise, and that doesn't mean that we don't collaborate, but we live in an age of compromise. We just want to get along with everybody. And yet ministers must be bold and not ashamed of the truth or of the testimony of Jesus. And that can be a challenge in our day, but it's something that God has called us to share, to not be ashamed of the message. And finally, guard the treasure, verses 11 to 14. Paul says, guard the good deposit that he's put in you. So God gives us the Holy Spirit, that's that deposit. Now it's not just something that we just sort of have, but he's telling us to guard it, to pay attention, to steward it well. And so the first part of this is to steward the gospel faithfully. So ministry is not about innovation only, but preservation of apostolic truth. The message that we have is a timeless message. It doesn't change. The message never changes. What can change are the methods. And the methods need to change because we need to speak the timeless message into the gospel or into the culture that we have, that the gospel is truly for today. And so we have tools available to us. And as I was going through my notes, I'm thinking tools that were available weren't there 30 years ago. I'd say there's tools available to us that weren't available 10 years ago. When I first started pastoral ministry, I'm still using paper. I know Sherman's going to use an iPad. I don't trust technology. The battery will die. Something will happen. It's like this. The worst thing that could happen is I lose it. I do all the technology and then I print it out because that way. And I've talked to other guys like, yeah, I use an iPad. I use my tech, and I have a printed copy hidden somewhere if it dies. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to skip that potential and go for this. But there's so many things that we have tools that we have to use. The internet is available to us. As I think about my library, most of my library now is on a Kindle. I have probably 600 books on a Kindle, and I probably have 300 books on a wall, hard copy. I have a Logos program that's on my computer that allows me to do incredible searches. Probably it saves me 10 hours of work when I used to have to go pull out books and read through them and highlight and take notes. Now I can do it all in one place and I can pull it all out and I can do like 10 hours of work in about 30 minutes. And so it's amazing what you can do. So our sermons should be so much better. So I don't know if they are, but they should be because we have all this technology. But steward the gospel faithfully. The good deposit is sound doctrine. And so the gospel is this truth that's handed down to us. Paul tells Timothy here, rely on the Holy Spirit. I love this because it's like, I'm not alone. You and I are not alone. Even when we're alone, we're not alone because we have the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And Paul tells Timothy, guard it. Guard the gospel message. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Our human strength is insufficient for spiritual ministry. To wake up every day knowing that we need the Holy Spirit to do God's work today. I journal just about every day, and when I journal, I always start with thanking Jesus for something and then asking for something. And what I normally ask for is, I need you, God, to fill me today to do the things that you called me to do. One of the things that I love about pastoral ministry, and maybe it's more me than anything, but I love that I can have a plan for the day and God has a plan that does not align with mine. and I go with his plan, and I need flexibility to do that. So that's something that all of us can say, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, and we don't exactly know what's going to happen today. New things could take place. And then Paul tells Timothy in this regard of stewarding, he says, live a life of example. Paul reminds Timothy of his own life, and he says, you remember my life, remember my service, excuse me, remember my suffering. So ministry is not simply about preaching, but it's about embodying the message. Our testimony is more than words spoken. It's a life lived. That's what integrity is. Our words and our actions need to align. And people will watch our life more than they will listen to our words. They need to know they align. So let me close with what I would call the charge. So to Sherman, you're being set apart for a sacred trust. Stir up the gift. Don't be ashamed. Guard the gospel, the good news. Your calling, Sherman, is from God. Your strength is the Holy Spirit. Your message is eternal.